1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump's Florida flip-flop, changing his position on a six-week abortion ban in the state again. ABC News political analyst Rachel Bain.
He bragged for a long time that he was the president who essentially overturned Roe v. Wade. But this week alone, he flip-flopped multiple times on whether he supports Florida's six-week abortion ban, first suggesting that 6 weeks is not enough time for women to even know they're pregnant and that he would sort of vote to strike that in this ballot measure that they have coming up in the fall. And then after getting blowback from the pro-life community, he changed his position again and said actually that he would support keeping it in place.
U.S. military forces targeting ISIS operatives in western Iraq early Thursday. CENTCOM says 15 ISIS militants were killed, 7 U.S. personnel injured during the mission. All are in stable condition. Relief at the pump. If you're driving this Labor Day weekend, you're paying the lowest gas prices in about 3 years. According to AAA, average price for a gallon of regular, $3.35, 50 cents cheaper than a year ago. This is ABC News. One of two Southern California doctors accused of supplying ketamine that led to the death of Matthew Perry has made his first appearance in federal court.
Dr. Mark Chavez can no longer practice medicine, his attorney telling the judge his client has agreed as a part of a plea deal to give up his medical license and he'll close his medical practice as a result of his role in the death of Matthew Perry. Chavez appeared in front of a judge agreeing to terms of bail. Outside of court, his attorney, Matthew Benninger.
My client is accepting responsibility.
Chavez plans to enter a guilty plea at a later date. He could get up to 10 years in prison. Alex Stone, ABC News in federal court in downtown L.A.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says dozens of health violations have been found at the Boar's Head plant in Virginia linked to a deadly listeria outbreak. The violations include insects, mold, and puddles of blood that have been linked to a deadly listeria outbreak that's killed at least 9 people. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The public comment period is over for a controversial oil pipeline project in northern Wisconsin. We get more now from Mike Moan.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will eventually decide on an environmental permit sought by Canadian firm Enbridge to reroute a section of its Line 5 pipeline around the Bad River Reservation. Tribal leaders have been engaged in a legal fight with the company over its existing line, which currently covers 12 miles of reservation land. Earth Justice attorney Gussie Lord represents the tribe and says the new plan fails to ease concerns.
We know that this reroute is not a solution, it's a full solution, and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
Her group and other environmental organizations say more than 150,000 comments are being submitted that reflect these concerns. A separate coalition of labor, business, and agricultural groups says it gathered roughly 14,000 signatures in support of the reroute. While some supporters tout the potential jobs and related benefits, Jason Wilhite with the outdoor apparel company Patagonia contends any major spill could harm water recreation and all the business activity it creates.
Put simply, a rupture of the Line 5 pipeline would have a devastating impact on our regional economy.
In an emailed statement, Enbridge says it's committed to extensive protective measures to minimize and mitigate project impacts. Tribal advocates say they're especially worried about the potential effect on wild rice beds. It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Other permits are needed for the proposed reroute. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 82. Clear tonight, lows around 60. It'll be breezy out of the northwest, over 25 miles per hour. Sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high near 75. Labor Day Monday, sunshine and highs in the mid-70s.
It's 73 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, I've been driving cell phone, wearing it out, and I finally tracked you down.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, the great, the fantastic, the wonderful Danielle Fairman's got the week off. And God bless her, because I hope she's out there scouting the fields that I can't get to right now, because it's just about sunset. Those Canada geese are rocking and rolling throughout the state. Man, what a week in Wisconsin. We are 1 week away from the goose opener. And you're listening to the show that's going to put it together for you, tell you how to take your game from the field to the table. And we're a week away from goose season. And I'm really jacked, because we're a week away from goose season means we just had the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo, sponsored by the Fowl Life, Jargon Calls Banded. I mean, we had Share the Heritage up there, Mercury Boats, dogs, everything. And something we had up there, you want to know the influence that Raised in Wisco has in this state. I'm meeting people at the expo who are literally in the studio with us today as you're listening throughout the state of Wisconsin on 13 civic media stations throughout the state at 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Thank you, folks, for joining us. These guys I met at the expo, which is all about waterfowl, and they were kind enough to come into the studio today so that we could bring this to you, the very latest, the very greatest, on how to get out into the outdoors in the state of Wisconsin. That's what Raised in Wisco is about, and that's why we're happy to have you here. Ellie Lawton-Smoller,
hey.
You were there with Share the Heritage this weekend.
Yes,
I mean, holy cow, what an awesome, awesome expo it was. I think every waterfowler in the state went through it.
I think so, too. The women's zone. Oh my gosh, it was just amazing the entire time, the engagement we had from folks, men, women, youth. It was just fantastic. We had a great time.
And you guys did some cooking too. I saw that. I have to tell you, and before we even get to that, I want to introduce Johnny Bauman, who is not only, I mean, he's a young kid. Well, young kids by my standard, that's like 25 to 35, I call young kids anymore. But I think there is nothing greater about Wisconsin than the entrepreneurial spirit, the outdoors, and putting those two things together. And Johnny Bauman invented something that so many people who use the outdoors never know how to do, and that is how to get what you kill in the field to the taxidermist in the proper way. He's the inventor of Bagged and Tagged. This was his first. Johnny Bauman, man, great to have you here. How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
24 years old. You got a business. You want to make a life in the outdoor industry, obviously. And so you were at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo. We're going to get to that. You just got to keep listening, because we've got so many exciting things to talk about this week. So we're going to start off with Weekly Wiscos. And even though Danielle's not here, I'm going to do my Weekly Wisco, and I'll press our guests into doing it too. My Weekly Wisco is that despite other jobs and other work and crazy mad busyness at the end of summer, I have been scouting every single day, because tomorrow, literally tomorrow, is the Wisconsin State Canada Goose opener. It is also the opener of Morning Dove. It is also the opener of Early Teal. And we're going to get a little bit into the fact that one, it's, if you're going to hunt
early teal, you really got to know what you're doing, because those hen wood ducks, they look a lot like teal, I am telling you. So we're going to get into that. But first, my weekly Wisco is that I spent a ton of time out checking out the fields and trying to find where those early Canada goose are. Now, you guys, you're a bird hunter, Ellie, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. You know that early season where you get 5 a day per person, that's established so that you're hunting local populations of geese to kind of cut down the local populations of geese. Do you think it's all local geese, or you think we're getting migrators already?
I think we're getting migrators already, for sure.
I mean, what makes you think that? Because a lot of the geese, they're settling into the same fields. They bounce around a little bit, but every day, day in, day out, the goal is to kill, you know, local geese and kind of knock those populations back. And I think it's just kind of crazy because toward the end of the early season and stuff, some people are shooting geese and they've got, you know, bands on them coming from Ontario and other places. Mm-hmm. Have you been scouting?
I have not. You know what? I'm so behind getting ready for goose. I've been focusing on getting ready for bow.
Oh, well, you know, and the crazy part is that starts only, you know, 14 days later.
Yeah.
The bow season starts for archery. We've got turkey season starts on that same day. I mean, this is the time that it is the greatest to be a Wisconsinite. Are you getting ready for the hunting season, Johnny Bauman?
Absolutely, man. I've been out like you every night checking fields, looking at different fields, different ponds, different local ponds and whatnot, for sure.
One of the hardest things to me is that I'm a goose hunter at heart. Now, don't get me wrong. I do love hunting ducks, but I'm a goose hunter at heart. And one of the tough things to do if you go out for early teal, because there's a mad population of teal in Wisconsin, and those populations are so burgeoning, they allow us to harvest some of the early teal, right? Mm-hmm. But part of the problem is a teal flies. I always say it's like hunting bats. Those things fly so fast. They're like little rockets in the air, right?
I can never tell them. I'm just not there yet.
I think the best advice that I could give is that if you're not sure of the species you are hunting, don't pull the trigger.
Absolutely.
Because a teal looks a heck of a lot like a hen wood duck. They fly very similarly. Hen wood ducks are a little slower wing beat, but you got to be awfully familiar with them, because the last thing you want to do is go out there and kill the wrong species, because there are other ducks around. Are you seeing ducks throughout the state, Johnny?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of ducks around, for sure. And I mean, like you said too about the teal and the wood ducks, definitely got to watch out, like early morning too, when you can't really visualize them. I would just be careful out there. Make sure you're shooting the right birds.
Oh, for sure. Ellie, what's your weekly Wisco? What have you been doing outside in Wisconsin this week?
Oh, my weekly Wisco, keeping the horses alive and well.
Is it tough right now to keep livestock healthy?
You know what? Yes, this heat, it's really hard on them. You know, they're sassy some days. They sweat a lot right now. We're pumping electrolytes into them. They just don't love the heat. Last week when we dropped under 50 the other night, oh, they were full of it. They were all fresh. They were ready to go. They're looking forward to fall just like us.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm telling you what. I mean, even in the studio, the air conditioning's on, and it's got to be like 85 degrees in the studio. It's crazy. Air conditioning can't even keep up. It's not even keeping up at my house. And one of the crazier things was, and we're going to get to this, I was hunting in Texas last week for Spanish goats out there, and we almost stepped on a rattlesnake. So that is one heck of a crazy story that we're going to get to. And later in the show, we're going to talk about sous vide wild goose breast in a sherry cream sauce. I fed about 200 people at the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo. That was an incredible experience, too. You know where I just came from? I literally just came from a farm. I was on a farm, a buddy of mine, actually a relative, and this story is so crazy. About 4 years ago, you know, I tell everybody the hunting takes place long before you pull the trigger. The hunting's actually
absolutely
knocking on doors, talking to farmers, getting permissions, scouting. That's the hunting. Showing up on the day of and pulling the trigger, setting up the decoys, that's the harvesting. And if it doesn't happen that day, you know, you're out there enjoying nature. So about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, probably, I stopped. I saw some geese in the field. I knocked on a farmer's door, and he came out. We started a conversation. I hunted there probably he was kind of leery to let me hunt to begin with, but then he let me hunt, and we're going, you know, on about 2 years, and I show up there delivering a goose pot pie, saying, nice. "Hey, I killed this on your field. I wanted to give this to you," and it was just like an awesome reaction that he had. And his wife comes out and she shows me a picture, and she's like, "What do you think of this picture?" And I was like, "Oh, that's a really cool picture." I said, "That guy looks like my grandpa." She said, "I think it is your grandpa."
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
What?
That's amazing.
I'm like, "Why do you have a picture of my grandpa?" And she goes, "Because Daryl, her husband, Daryl's the farmer." She's like, "Daryl's great grandma was your great grandpa's sister." Now, that's a little tricky to put together. But what that means is Daryl and I are first cousins twice removed. So the guy,
that's crazy.
I mean, what? The guy who owns the farm is literally, I'm blood related to him.
That's wild.
You know what one of the greatest things about it is? It's a lot easier for me to ask permission every year.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But he's got a farm out in Sullivan, and they're just great. We've become great friends with Daryl and Tammy, and he's got these robots now. He's like, "Well, we got the robots now." And I'm like, "What in the hell kind of robot do you use on a farm, right? Do you guys know the answer to this?" Because I didn't know when he said it. Ellie? Johnny?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm. Of course, okay. I know.
You knew what a robot on a dairy farm was?
Well, yeah, for milking.
Well, explain it to me, because I was like, I'm thinking of, like, you know, I'm like, "Take me to your cows."
No,
I don't know
what
kind of robots. Did you have robots on your dairy farm?
We did not. That's more of like a milking parlor situation.
Right, right, right.
We had, later on, we had the like automatic takeoff milkers, but you still had to manually move them from cow to cow. Whereas the parlor situation, they're going in and there's not a lot of human contact.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I went to check it out tonight. Dude, the cows line up.
Yeah, they like, know.
You don't have to do anything.
Yep. No.
The cows line up, and they're just like, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, these cows." I'm like, "How do you get the cows to line up?" And they're just like, "Well, I don't know. They're full of milk, and they probably want a little relief." So they go into
them.
The milk. I mean, just.
They learn.
They learn.
They know where to go. They know what time it is. They get on their schedules.
I mean, it's crazy to think about.
They do the same thing every day, all day.
Jess, our producer, who runs the ship here, who is like on top of it and awesome beyond explanation.
Yelling at you.
You don't yell at me.
Just you boss me, you around.
You do boss me around a little bit, but you're the boss. I'm cool with that. I'm not one of the. I do not let pride get in the way of a good product. Okay.
That's really good.
And this is a good product, and people are even talking about this product, and you know, Raised in Wisco is a show that includes everything in the state of Wisconsin that you can do outdoors. And at the end of the day, I tell people it's a cooking show too. And we love that you're along with us. You can listen to us on all the Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin every Saturday at 11. And I can't wait to talk about the rest of this milking parlor story, how I almost died in Texas, and Johnny Bauman's product and Ellie's experience at the Waterfowl Expo. It's gonna be great.
Heck yeah. I got my money and you got what I need. Hey, mister. Hey, mister. Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? There's a band in the bar that I'm dying to see. I got my money and you got what I need. Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? There's a band in the bar that I'm dying to see. I got my money, you got what I need. Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? Hey,
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Todd Allball Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allball Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
We ate so much wild game. I mean, every Sunday was rabbit, partridge, fish, venison.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just thought that side.
That was not believable at all.
No, well, so that like, wasn't. Yeah. Wow.
Trying to. Yeah. Well, I just. We did not do that.
Cool.
We
did not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish alongside our fill-in host, Ellie Lawton-Smoller.
Hey.
What up? What's going on?
Just having a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I told her, you know, that she was going to be auditioning as a fill-in guest host. How's it going so far? How do you feel like it's going so far?
I feel like I'm giving it total effort.
Hey, you did go running out screaming after that first segment, so you're doing great.
Yes, and ultimately it's going to be up to Jess because Jess is the boss. She steers the ship.
Well, Joel, if it was going to be up to you, I was going to say it's like that's the Step Brothers movie where actually right. I'm interviewing you.
Oh, and I just didn't realize it, huh?
Oh, you're not in your tuxedo.
Well, I can do better Will Ferrell quotes probably from Anchorman since that was my former industry. But
perfect.
Folks, you're joining us on Raised in Wisco, the show heard throughout the Civic Media Network and the state of Wisconsin every Saturday at 11. Thank you for joining us. We love having you out there and we appreciate it. This show is about helping you to enjoy the great state of Wisconsin's outdoors, its outdoor resources. And I think that if you listen to this show, you leave it saying, wow, I did not realize how many resources they are. And those resources are often governed by the folks we elect. So I want to remind you that Tuesday, September 17th is National Voter Registration Day. Make a plan to check your voter registration and be sure you're ready for November 5th. It's a big election coming up, and those people who are elected, they affect what we do statewide. Civic Media is getting recombobulated, too. Dan Schaefer and his Milwaukee News and Opinion publication, The Recombobulation Area, are now also part of Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to him. Welcome to Raised in Wisco. We had the Waterfowl Hunters Expo this past Saturday. It was unbelievable. I mean, we had probably close to 10,000 people through the door. All folks who are going to be enjoying the waters and woods of the state of Wisconsin this next week, because tomorrow, Sunday, the day before Labor Day, the Goose, Dove, and early teal opener happens. And you know what? I wanted to get ready for hunting season. So I delivered my daughters out to Texas to college. Now, this was very hard. I'm in rough shape right now. I don't know if you can tell it.
I can't.
I'm in rough shape.
You're masking it well.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
It's the cowboy hat.
That. It is. We're going to get to that in a second.
What's that cowboy hat hiding?
What is that? That cowboy hat is hiding pain.
Oh, no.
He has tissues and liquid IVs under his cowboy hat right now.
Fatherly pain. That's what it's hiding.
Oh, you need
my daughters are gone.
You got an empty nest?
My oldest daughter got married at 21. Some folks think that's a little young to get married, but she is driven in her pursuit and her spirituality, and she's ready. And her husband, Gabe, is a great guy. They moved permanently to Waco, Texas.
Wow.
And she's a senior at Baylor University. And my little one, Violet, as you know, Viper, that's her nickname. She's my little hunting buddy. She starts her freshman year at Baylor. So if you're checking us out on Facebook Live, you can see I'm wearing a cowboy hat today. And part of the reason I'm wearing a cowboy hat is because I was in Texas. And when you come back from Texas, like when you go to Texas, wearing a cowboy hat's just like normal.
Yes.
Totally normal. And I kind of like cowboy hats. I think they're cool and fun, and they keep the sun out of your eyes.
They go with every outfit.
And they're almost kind of like part of an ensemble, you know?
They do really go with almost every outfit, and even guys in suits with a cowboy hat, and women wearing cowboy hats. It's just, it's a good look, I think. I really do. So I'm wearing my cowboy hat because I just got back from Texas, and I want to tell you, I had an experience in Texas. I was out hunting black Hawaiian sheep in Texas Hill Country out there, and I'm walking along with the guide at dusk, and we both step on a stick and hear.
Oh.
Hell no.
That's when I run.
Look to the side, and literally, Jess, from you to me away is a rattlesnake.
That's not far enough.
No.
Not by a long shot.
No.
I don't even like a grass snake that close.
Is going along next to a log right within arm's reach of me, and he's got his tail in the air. And he keeps going, and I'm like, okay, he's going.
I would have been gone. There's no way. No way.
2 seconds later, a bigger one is behind him.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oobly.
Yeah. So, the good news is...
Has your blood pressure recovered since?
The good news is rattlesnake is delicious.
Yes. Oh, yeah?
I've heard.
And really? Taking something from the field to the table does not disinclude rattlesnake. I don't know if disincludes a word, but...
Can be tonight.
It can include... It can be?
Yeah.
Ellie, we've got a resident grammatologist along with us who says it can be a word. So we're going with it. So I turned and kind of made sure everybody was, you know, safely behind me. And I shot. I had a handgun with me. Pop, pop, pop. I got it all three times. And we had rattlesnake.
How was it?
It was so cool.
Well, this is oddly, this is not the first time I've encountered one and not the first time I've eaten it. People ask, what's it like? I say it's like dry or chewy chicken. We fried it, and it can fry up. It tastes kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit like alligator, but a little more chewy.
That's like chewy, kind of rubbery chicken is alligator.
Oh, no. See, you're not eating alligator the right way.
No,
you know,
I
kill like 30 alligators a year, and I make alligator, and it is so delicious. You got to try it sometime. I mean, you really got to try it sometime.
Yeah, because clearly I've only had the bad stuff.
Well, right. Well, if I haven't cooked it yet. I do love alligator, and I make alligator gyros on the Traeger grill, which is super delicious and fun. Johnny Bauman is with us today, and I'm going to just let you get started. We only have a few minutes. And I want you to tell me about Tagged and Bagged, how this came into fruition, where you thought of it, why you thought of it, and where it's going from here and how we met.
All right. So I started Tagged and Bagged. I started researching how to actually package a bird properly 3 years ago, but I started the business.
When you tell people how to package a bird, explain exactly what you mean. How to package a duck or a goose or a game bird that you've harvested in the field, right?
Yep, exactly. So when you harvest a bird, you want to mount. You take that bird, and there's a proper way to package them. I never had a clue, and everybody had a different idea on how to do it. So I researched, did a ton of talking with taxidermists. So when you shoot the bird, you want to take the bird, you want to properly take it together. You want to get one of these kits for sure. You want to take towelettes, and you want to wrap the feet and the head. That way, when you put it in the freezer, it keeps all the moisture around it because those are the first things to freezer burn. Then along with that, we have a nylon in there. Some taxidermists love it. Some hate it. It's kind of a mixture. I would consult with your taxidermist, but I like it because it holds back all the feathers when we travel. So when we go across states, you got it in your cooler. It kind of helps keep everything together. Along with that, we got a cotton ball for the mouth. You throw it in there. That way, when you lay it on the back of the bird, the head on the back of the bird or underneath the wing, you for sure keep all that blood in its mouth and it doesn't drip on the bird. That way, you know, it's just one less step for the taxidermist.
I can't wait to talk to you about how you came up with this, why you came up with this, and what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Also, we're going to talk about new hunters in the field and our recipe, which is going to be fantastic. Sous vide goose fed 200 people. That was
sounds so
awesome.
Good. Love it.
And if you want a little bang in your yin yang, come along. Yeah, we're coming to your city. We're gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin yang, if you want a little zing in your zang zang, if you want a little ting in your tang tang, come along.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump's Florida flip-flop, changing his position on a six-week abortion ban in the state again. ABC News political analyst Rachel Bain.
He bragged for a long time that he was the president who essentially overturned Roe v. Wade. But this week alone, he flip-flopped multiple times on whether he supports Florida's six-week abortion ban, first suggesting that 6 weeks is not enough time for women to even know they're pregnant and that he would sort of vote to strike that in this ballot measure that they have coming up in the fall. And then after getting blowback from the pro-life community, he changed his position again and said actually that he would support keeping it in place.
U.S. military forces targeting ISIS operatives in western Iraq early Thursday. CENTCOM says 15 ISIS militants were killed, 7 U.S. personnel injured during the mission. All are in stable condition. Relief at the pump. If you're driving this Labor Day weekend, you're paying the lowest gas prices in about 3 years. According to AAA, average price for a gallon of regular, $3.35, 50 cents cheaper than a year ago. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers beat the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers won their final preseason game 30-7 over the Baltimore Ravens. Green Bay finishing with a preseason record of 2 wins and 1 loss. On defense, the Packers had 4 takeaways, including linebacker Christian Welch, who once played for the Ravens and is a native of Iola, Wisconsin, head coach Matt LaFleur.
He's just a smart, tough, physical player. I thought that interception that he had was an outstanding play. It looked like, to me, he baited the quarterback right there as a hook player and just made a great break on the ball and made the play. And then he had a heck of a return.
Who's going to be the Packers kicker? Greg Olsen and Anders Carlson both had field goals from beyond 50 yards out. Then Carlson missed wide right from just 32 yards out.
Both those guys went in there and hit a 54-yarder and a 55-yarder. And then there's a poor moment there where we miss a chip shot.
Baseball, Brewers and the A's tonight in Oakland. The Crew winning last night 11-3. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 82. Clear tonight, lows around 60. It'll be breezy out of the northwest, over 25 miles per hour. Sunny and breezy for Sunday, with a high near 75. Labor Day Monday, sunshine and highs in the mid-70s.
It's 73 at our studios.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later, leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And I just want to run away with you.
used to do. It don't matter where we're going, up on a mountain, down by the beach.
Raise the Wisco is your one-stop shop to learn everything you need to know about Wisconsin's outdoors. How to do it, how to get out there. Don't be afraid to get out there and try something for the first time. And don't be afraid to take it from the field to the table. We've got guests in the studio today. Ellie Lawton-Smoller and Johnny Bauman from Tagged and Bagged. Ellie is involved in the Share the Heritage Foundation. And we hooked up all of us at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo last week. And we've got a couple other guests in the studio. Johnny, I'm going to let you introduce Adele, your girlfriend. You brought her along. We got a packed studio. That's probably why it's 85
Adele
degrees in here.
It's cozy in here.
Celebrating our one-year anniversary, actually. So.
Oh, my gosh. Happy anniversary.
Congratulations. What better way to do it than on Raised in Wisco, where the entire state gets to know that you guys have beaten the odds of a young couple hanging out together for a year. Way to go.
You made it.
Way to go.
Let's go.
That's why I brought you anniversary cake.
Oh, that, wow. That's what it was for.
She did. And, you know, that is funny because the show is really about taking foraging Wisconsin to the field. And right now is literally the time in Wisconsin for harvesting everything in gardens,
yes.
Everything that's growing wild.
That's where the rhubarb came from.
We start. Really? The rhubarb came. Jess. Do you like rhubarb?
I love rhubarb.
Oh, me too.
It's so great.
Some people are funny about it.
No. Like,
but when you put rhubarb in pie or cake, it's so good. It adds just a moisture to the cake.
I love sour stuff.
Yes.
Me too.
So it's just...
It's, you know what? It's like the Sour Patch Kids of cake.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
If I can go...
For sure.
Can I go that far?
That's a good way to put it.
That's not a horrible way to describe it, is it?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yeah, it looks amazing. My cheat day is on Sunday, so I'm going to take some home and I'm going to keep it wrapped so that it stays, you know.
No.
It doesn't dry out. I'm not eating it. I can't eat it today. I'm too fat, Ellie.
I'll make you one on Sunday.
You'll make me one on Sunday.
Yeah, you got to have it fresh.
Be careful what you offer in front of me, because one of the best things in life is to take people up on things. You don't get to do things unless you ask.
Hey.
And that...
I will definitely bake you a cake on Sunday.
Okay.
Come get it, though. I'm not driving it to you.
That's fine.
Okay.
Wait, whoa. Let's slow down a minute. That's opening day of goose season. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going anywhere after opening day, because we're usually on the field at 1 o'clock in the morning. And that gets to be a very long day. You know, I love the fact that Raised in Wisco gets to talk about everything you can do here in the state of Wisconsin and why this is one of the greatest places to live. And you guys know, I love to travel too. I love experiencing other cultures. I love experiencing other food. And 2 weeks ago, I got to be in Austria hunting chamois in the Austrian Alps. I was showing you guys some of those pictures. It's kind of crazy.
Explain what that animal is.
All right, a chamois is a type of mountain goat, and I always tell people it's got like candy cane horns. That's what their horns look like, little candy canes, kind of. And they are judged on the trophy size of like how long the candy cane horns are. And what's funny about it, it's not like a deer, because a candy cane horns of like, you know, 95 centimeters is huge, you know, for a chamois. And what's really funny about it is this animal throughout the Alps, the only place you can really hunt it naturally in the world is the Alpine Mountains.
Okay.
Now, the Alps, a lot of people don't realize the Alps go through Germany, Switzerland, Austria. There's even some of the Alps in Italy.
Dang.
So they go through a very wide array of countries. But I was in the area really like The Sound of Music, the musical The Sound of Music. Like, this is the area they were from.
That's crazy.
I mean... Edelweiss and Captain Von Trapp. And what is so cool, and I think in the United States, I think we so often look at the differences of people and we're constantly comparing differences instead of finding what's common. Now, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a squishy liberal or anything like that, or a hardcore conservative, because I'm running this one down the middle, Jess. In Wisconsin, I think we do a very great job, number one, of preserving heritages here. We've got, an African-American heritage, a Latino heritage, a German heritage, an Italian heritage in Wisconsin that are very strong. And I think we do a good job of preserving it. But hunting in Europe has a different level of, I don't know if I want to say respect for what you're hunting, but at least employment of the tradition of hunting. And I was showing you guys the way they hunt over there in very traditional hunting gear, lederhosen, and they wear their hunting, their, you know, European hunting hats, which are wool or made out of some type of fur that's been trimmed down. And they have this thing called, they call it the last bite. And if you harvest an animal, you take a bite of the, in this area, it was pine trees, and you put a pine sprig in the mouth and you put a pine sprig on your hat to show respect for the animal. And you don't take a picture of that animal without his last bite in his mouth. And the traditional hunting gear was, you know, lederhosen and boots and the socks pulled up to the knees and a traditional European hat. And I got to tell you, as somebody from the United States, most people who don't know about hunting would look at that and think it's corny. I mean, what did you guys think looking at that stuff?
I thought it blended into the environment way too much and looked really warm.
Yeah, it was warm. It was like 90 degrees.
Yeah, like a combination of you're going on a safari, but you're going to German Fest to drink a beer.
Yeah, it kind of does look like
that. Yeah, you definitely pulled it off, though. I think it. You look great. Like, man, I think you should bring it back here.
Yeah. Oh, I have it. Start I have it. It all.
Oh, dang. I haven't seen I don't, the pictures, but I like it.
You
got
to hunt opener. Opener and goose. You got to be wearing
Jess,
it.
We the pictures show you are the great. Picture. And I guess what I really appreciated about it was the appreciation of the tradition of hunting. And, you know, as women age 18 to 35, the fastest growing group of new hunters.
Yes.
Ellie, you are involved with Share the Heritage, and this is all about getting women into the outdoors.
Absolutely.
Taking people who have never hunted before necessarily or tried it before, been afraid to for whatever reason, or just haven't. Your organization focuses on making that happen for people. And that's why, and that's one of the reasons I wanted Jesse Thielen, who's also in the studio, just checking it out tonight, because Jesse has never really hunted before. We're planning her first hunt.
That's Jess, so awesome.
Producer Jess has never hunted before, and we're talking to her about getting her potentially comfortable enough to get out there and hunt a turkey with Danielle and me.
You're going to get that turkey.
I'm certainly going to try.
Well, absolutely. Listen, I know that. So while I have you guys, you know, in the studio, and this is why there are no such thing as coincidences, right? Jesse Thielen's all about pickling garden, you know, vegetables and using garden vegetables to make wine and garden vegetables to make side dishes. And we rarely talk about side dishes when we're talking about wild game. We're going to talk more about that. And she's going to go hunting for the first time. And, you know, she's watching the show tonight and just checking it out because I want to have her on the show after she does that. And producer Jess, you know, I know is got some apprehension about it because we're going to get her a turkey tag and we're going to hunt her on the mentored hunt program. And I just, you know, just talk to me a little bit because this is this barrier that I'm talking about. The barrier between somebody like you not having ever hunted and that very large first step. What are some kind of the emotional things you go through? What are some of the things in your head that make that barrier seem as big as it is? Because as a seasoned hunter, I don't understand those barriers anymore, but I want to. And I think Ellie can answer some of those questions too, because that's what Share the Heritage is about, breaking down those barriers. But producer Jess, for you, what's kind of the tough mental things to get through?
Well, for me, I certainly did not grow up in a hunting family. I grew up in a family where if you wanted meat, you went to the butcher.
Yep.
And in recent years, I've really cut down on the amount of meat that I eat in general.
Sure.
So I think a big part of it for me is what right do I have to choose that this animal is about to die?
Yep.
And there's definitely a block there for me, as well as it just being something that is very new, very different. I grew up in a pretty anti-gun family, pretty anti-violence family.
Sure.
And so I see a lot of these really great benefits of hunting, of getting back into the natural environment and really participating.
Organic food sources, protein sources.
Right.
Sure.
And it's just new. It's different. I don't have the connections. In the past couple months getting to know you, I'm starting to develop that, but this was never even on my radar.
You know, what you just said right there is almost emotional to me when I hear that. When I hear somebody describe it in that way, it's almost emotional to me because everything you said is completely legitimate reasoning, 100% legitimate reasoning. And because I am past all of those apprehensions, and for me, for my family and me, hunting is literally about putting food on the table, and we only eat organic meat. And I start to think to myself, if you go to the store and buy chicken, or you go to the store and you buy beef, or you go and buy pork, that is an animal that is born, you know, in a restricted environment,
lived its whole life
in a cage, yep. And then is butchered one day. Now, I want to be clear. If it weren't for farmers doing that, our population would not survive. That is a necessity, and that is something that farmers provide. They provide the sustenance that we survive on. But taking that step into the unknown of taking that life yourself, you know, butchering it yourself and putting it on the table yourself, that is a grand thing to think about. And I think this marries what we were talking about in Austria, the importance of understanding your kill and appreciating your kill. So what I will say to somebody like you is, look, there will be no pressure to pull the trigger. You know, we'll get you a tag if you like. If you don't want to get one, you're welcome to come along if you'd like. But there will not be pressure for you to kill the animal. I never put pressure on the new hunter. There will be no pressure for you to kill the animal. And I think the conversation we're having right here is incredibly important and needs to be had with everybody who is a new hunter. And that's what I was talking about when we come to the middle on things. We as hunters and anglers and people who utilize the resources of the state of Wisconsin, we are not going to create a unified front on how to make sure we conserve and use our resources correctly unless we have these conversations.
Yep, 100%.
Ellie, do you find with Share the Heritage and how the fact that you take women out for the first time, do you find Jess's apprehensions
all the
very
time.
Common?
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many mentees we worked with, you know, either if it was through the foundation or just me personally, where I take a lady or a young gal out for her first hunt and same apprehensions, and we're out there, and the message I always tell them is, just like you said, no pressure to pull the trigger. We are here to connect with nature, and we're here, you know, to connect with our surroundings and see how the animals live and really focus on the whole experience and not just the actual harvest.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Do you find that most people kind of get through that?
Yes, and it's not during the first hunt. It usually takes a few hunts before they're willing to pull that trigger and really be able to process, you know, yeah, this feels right. It feels right for me now to do this.
I almost feel like, well, at least now in my experience, I feel like the responsibility and gravity of taking a life of the animal is important that you feel that.
You absolutely should.
Because you can have so much more appreciation when you actually eat it.
Yes.
I'm not joking about that. When I make something, and I just want to just revisit this for half a second, I fed 175, probably closer to 300, but 175 people in the cooking segment, sous vide goose. It tasted like Wagyu tenderloin. It was unbelievable. Mm. And we're going to tell you how to make that yet. And Johnny Bauman, we're going to talk to you about the fact that not only is your product helping people get to the taxidermist in the right way, but you're about taking out those new hunters too.
Absolutely.
Your You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to Raised in Wisco, the show that talks about Wisconsin's great outdoors. How to do it. Don't be afraid. Get out there. Get a gun in your hand during the hunting season. Go with a mentor. You don't have to shoot. Go along without a gun. You can enjoy the great outdoors any way you please in Wisconsin. Get out there and kayak. Hike some of the many trails throughout Wisconsin. Enjoy the beauty. Get on a boat. These lakes are teeming with fish. Go foraging.
I was just going to say, foraging.
Foraging.
Mushrooms.
That's Ellie Lawton-Smoller. She's with the Share the Heritage Foundation, our fill-in guest host today as Danielle's on break.
Talking my language.
I'm Joel Clayfish. What are you talking? What's your language, producer?
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms. Oh, I love mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms are the best. You know what?
Like, you eat so much with them.
So do you know what? I figured out a way to eat mushrooms with meat. I literally coat them in
pork rinds,
pork rind breading.
Really?
All mushrooms, right, we've got our use for
coated
pork
in pork. No, I'm telling you, before pork rinds, because I try to eat a keto diet as much as I can, and I'm telling you, before pork rinds were sold as like shredded pork rind breading, I was making it myself at home. I was rolling a rolling pin on a bag of pork rinds because that is a Wisconsin thing to eat. But it's also called chicharrone in the Mexican food culture. And it's also a very common food. And the Mexican culture prepared in Mexican cuisine, it's prepared very many different ways, all of which are delicious, by the way. But I had such an awesome, I mean, mushrooms, foraging mushrooms in Wisconsin. Now is the time to do it. You can get
so
hen of the woods.
Fun.
Do you do that, Ellie?
Yes.
What do you get when you're out there?
Head in the woods.
Hen of
right?
the woods is awesome.
Puff balls. So you all know you can eat puff balls.
Puff balls are so underrated. They're so delicious.
They're so good.
Really?
Yes.
I've never had
them. And you get so much out of it, but don't be grabbing those ones that are kind of, I don't
rotten-y.
Know, smoky. Like
they have
to be fresh. You want a white flesh, firm. Oh my gosh,
I
so
like
good.
The smaller puff ball mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Jessica Thielen's in the studio with us today. She's checking stuff out. She's going to hunt for the first time this fall. She's great at gardening, foraging, pickling, canning, and side dishes. I can't wait to have her on the show after she has her first experience hunting. Producer Jess is going to get out in the woods with Danielle and me. I'm super excited to see what she thinks about that whole experience. You know, there's a large chance, Producer Jess, we may never even see a turkey while we're out there. So there's no worries to kill a
It'll
turkey.
It'll still be a good time.
Yeah, the beauty of hunting is hearing the woods wake up or hearing the woods go to sleep and seeing that. And I can't tell you how enjoyable it is to be out in Wisconsin's waters and woods. And
you may find some mushrooms while
you're
turkey
mushrooms
hunting.
Are out right now. So, Head of the Woods is ready.
Yep.
Pheasant backs are out right now. You got to make sure that because they get harder and harder as they grow. So you want the tender ones. But make sure, though, I mean, get yourself a book. Get an identifier on the internet. It's easy. Make sure you're actually eating something that's edible. The last thing you want is to end up in the hospital because you ate a poisonous mushroom or on cloud nine because you ate a psychedelic mushroom. Those do exist in Wisconsin. You know?
Yes, they do.
I mean, we don't.
If you're having a rough day, I mean, just go for it.
Okay. Can we say that on the radio, Jess? I think she can probably say that on the radio.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I think talking about food's making me hungry, and I want to talk about our recipe this week. We made sous vide goose breast in a sherry cream sauce, and we fed 100. I had 175 people at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo. Every seat was taken, lining the walls. I had one guy come up and say, I'm not going to try it. I can't stand Canada goose. I said, try it. You won't believe it. You won't think it's Canada goose. He didn't believe me. I talked him into it. This stuff tastes like Wagyu steak. He came back to me an hour later with somebody else saying, they wouldn't believe me. Can they try a sample of it? I made 30 pounds. I'm going to explain to you what sous vide is, because this is a cooking show also. Sous vide is a stick that you put in a pot of water. Then you take your meat. You take your meat. You can do it with vegetables, too. And you put it in a Ziploc bag, and you get all the air out of the Ziploc and submerge it in the pot of water. The sous vide stick will circulate that water at an exact temperature for as long as you want. What that does is eliminates any of the gamey taste of any meat, and it tenderizes it because it breaks down the enzymes, that circulation at a certain temperature. What I love about sous vide, now sous vide is spelled S-O-U-S-V-I-D-E. You can go and get one for about $100 or less at any Walmart or on Facebook or on Amazon. But I tell people, go to Facebook Marketplace, go to eBay. People buy these things and they think it's difficult to use them, and they sell them for half price or cheaper. Buy one for $30 and try it. This is so easy to use. You take a sous vide stick, which is about a foot long and about 3 inches in diameter. You stick it in a pot of water and you submerge whatever meat you're cooking in a plastic bag without the air in it. So you get the air out of the plastic bag, you submerge the meat and let it go. These geese I sous vide for 24 hours.
The
absolute beauty of sous videing something is you're cooking it to the exact temperature you want. Medium rare is 130. Medium is 140. I cook mine at 135. I like it right between medium and medium rare. You can cook it 24 hours. It will never get more cooked than medium, medium rare. You set the temperature, and it slices with a butter knife when you're done. Then we did a sherry cream sauce. Made a roux out of butter and flour. And then, you heat up your butter till it's bubbling. You put your flour in, mix it together. Then you add whatever liquid sounds delicious to you as a gravy. I used cream, sherry, and provider spices. You can use chicken broth. You can use apple cider vinegar and chicken broth. And you make yourself a gravy to put on that meat. And it was just... Did you get a chance to try it,
no,
Ellie?
No, I missed
Johnny?
That.
No,
that
I missed
segment.
It too. I was stacked at the booth, sadly.
Wow. Johnny, tell me how to order Tagged and Bagged if someone's interested.
You can find us online at taggedandbagged.net.
Awesome. Guys, it's been awesome having you here with us on Raised in Wisco. Johnny Bauman, the inventor of Tagged and Bagged. Ellie Lawton Smoller from Share the Heritage. It was great meeting you, and thank you guys so much for coming to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
great
thank
time.
You so
to Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.